I'm reading from Romans 13, verses 8 to 14. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not kill, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this sentence, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know what hour it is, how it is full time now for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. Let us then cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us conduct ourselves becomingly, as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. This is the word of the Lord.
Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. The Gospel reading is taken from Matthew chapter 18 and reading verses 15 to 20. If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Please sit, and it gives me great pleasure to welcome Sarah to the lectern. Many of you will know Sarah. She doesn't normally come to this service, but she's preached many times at the 11 and the 6, and so by popular request, Sarah.
Thank you, Reverend Doctor. So being a Baptist, I've often questioned why you Anglicans use the lectionary. And the answer that is given to me, mostly, is because it gets everyone to hear the whole of Scripture, that you don't just choose your favourite passage. And today proves that point, because no preacher would have chosen to preach at a 9 o'clock service, their first 9 o'clock service, preaching on dealing with sin in the church. So there we go, the lectionary works, because you get a whole range of scripture being read and preached about. So how do you deal with people that annoy you? How do you deal with people that hurt you? Are you a shouter? Do you get annoyed at that person that like cuts you up on the motorway, as I did last night coming back from Kent? Do you shout at them? Do you wave your fist at them? Are you someone that sulks, you know, or won't talk to anybody and just... I don't know. Do you try and take revenge? Maybe you try and take revenge. I quite liked this when I was looking through. Something on the screen, please. The next one. There we go. My therapist told me to write letters to the people who hurt me and burn them. I've done that, but I don't know now what to do with the letters. I tried to explain that to my 7-year-old this morning. She didn't quite get it until I then explained it to her, and she said, "Mummy, have you really burnt people?" No, because nobody's ever hurt me and I haven't hurt them, so there we go. I jest. Okay, so this passage is for believers. It's addressing the church. It's addressing those believers. So it's not in how we deal with people outside of the church, not how you deal with your actual next door neighbour. It's how we deal with people in the church, believers. Now, I'm sure that what's going to be brought out of this passage will help us in our dealings with everyday people. And I've come up with three things that I think the text, both texts from Romans and Matthew, wants to encourage us with this morning. So how do we deal with that brother or sister that hurts us? Well, first of all, we need to remember that we are in relationship with that person. It addresses us as brothers and sisters. It doesn't say when that person annoys you, when that person winds you up, how do you deal with it? When that person sins against you, how do you deal with it? The text actually addresses brothers and sisters. And so we are reminded that we are in relationship with each other. We are the body of Christ. We are God's family. And so that's the first way of how to deal with a brother or sister that sins against you. Remember that you are in relationship with him. They are your brother and sister. And we are fearfully and wonderfully made. The Bible reminds us throughout Scripture that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Look at the person next to you and say, "You're fearfully and wonderfully made." You are unique. Yes. We all have different skills, different abilities, different personalities. We all have different emotions. Some of us are an emotional being. I am an emotional being. Some people are not necessarily exuberant in their emotions, but we are all emotional beings. We experience joy, we experience sadness, we experience hurt. So when you put all of that personality and all of those abilities and all of those emotions all together, guess what's going to happen? You're going to annoy someone, or someone's going to annoy you. So let's face the fact that we're going to annoy each other, and I am going to get annoyed. We are family. Just think of the families that you are in. You annoy each other. And that is exactly the same in the family of God, in the church of God. Last week, we were reminded about the vision of this church. Will shared the vision of this church. And one of the things that I took from that is that you need to be involved in the church. He was saying that someone had said, "Oh, nobody cares about me." And Will said, "Well, what about your connect group?" "Well, I don't go to a connect group. I just come on a Sunday." Actually, when we get to know each other, when we go to connect groups, when we go to prayer meetings, when we help out at community lunch, when we help out with the youth or the children, when we sing in the choir, we get to know each other. We get to build relationship. This is the vision of the church. And when you get to know someone, you're more likely to be forgiving of someone. If you don't know that person, when they make a comment or when they do something and you don't know them, you're more likely to take offense. But when you know them, when you understand them, when you know their heart, when you know their personality and things like that, you're more likely to be more forgiving. In another part of the Bible where this is spoken about, Jesus reminds the disciples, you've got to forgive 70 times 7. You keep on forgiving, but to do that, you have to know that person. It's no good just coming to church on a Sunday and leaving and expecting to know that person. You've got to be fully involved. So the first thing of how to deal with someone who sins against you is remember that you are a family, that you are in relationship with that person. The second thing to do when someone sins against you is to remember that commandment that we've already heard in the liturgy and heard in the book of Romans. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And love your neighbour as yourself. You see, to be able to deal with people outwardly, you have to deal firstly upwardly and then inwardly. This is my psychology lesson for you today. St. Augustine once said, "Our hearts are restless until they rest in God." The most important relationship we have to address before we address that with our brother who is annoying us, sorry, brother or sister that's annoying us, we have to deal with our relationship with God. If we haven't got a healthy relationship with God, then we are more likely to cause offence and take offence very easily. Good relationship with God reminds us of who we are. We are loved by God. We are chosen by God. We are forgiven by God. We are redeemed by God. We are humbled by God. But we know who we are, that we are the most precious thing that can exist when we have a good relationship and a healthy relationship with God. And when we walk in that relationship with God, knowing who we are, we're a child of the King, knowing that we're forgiven, we're redeemed, we're sanctified, all those good Baptist words, then we can deal with our relationship with each other. But you need to think well of yourself. Not in an egotistical way, not like, oh, I'm a doctor now. Look at me. Sorry. And with the Vice Chancellor here as well, I'm so sorry. But we walk with our heads held high. Something I love to tell our students, and they've gone out unfortunately, but when we do PSHCE lessons, I say you've got to walk with your head held high. You've got to know who you are. You've got to believe in yourself. Because if you don't believe in yourself, if you don't know who you are, then you're not going to be able to relate to others in an adequate way. So you think well of yourself. You know that you're unique. You know that you are chosen. You know that you are humbled. And you know that you are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And then when we accept ourselves, then we will be able to forgive others 70 times 7. And then the third thing that I get from this text is that after we remember that we're in family and relationship with each other, and after we've addressed our relationship with God and with ourselves, then we go and talk to someone. It's good to talk. I'm sure that most of you remember that advert, it's good to talk, BT, remember? Are they that young? Even I remember that, it's good to talk. And that's what I then see in this passage, it's good to talk. Many of us will have examples of when things have got on top of us, but when we finally got the courage to talk to that person, it doesn't seem as big an issue as before, does it? And we can address it and we can move on. I once worked with someone and I thought this person was a bit weird. I thought this person was annoying. This person was very different to me, but I didn't really speak to them. They were quite lazy, a bit standoffish, and I had formed, not obviously very well, but I'd formed an opinion of this person. And then a situation occurred and I had to talk with them and had to spend time with them. And once I got to know them and talk to them, I found out that actually I love this person, that I get on so well with this person, because we were able to talk. And that was kind of like going back to that first point, that when you just know some, when you just see someone on the outside, we can form all sorts of opinions. But when you talk to someone, then it changes the situation, and that has changed my situation for good. You may have been hurt by someone. The text tells us that when you are hurt, when you are sinned against, you may have been hurt. Someone may have sinned against you. And so that does need to be addressed. You do need to go and talk. You do need to deal with it. It's no good hiding. If you hide, the situation doesn't go away. You can't brush things under the carpet, because then when you come to spring cleaning and you take the carpet up, all of it erupts again. You can't expect other people to do it, because that's not their thing. And you can't hope that it goes away. You have to go and speak to that person. And when you do speak to that hurt person, I can testify that healing happens. And we want to be healed. We want to be restored. We want to be the best person for God. And so we talk, we listen, and we get healed. Proverbs reminds us that hatred just stirs up strife. If you've got hatred, which is unresolved business, really, it just causes strife. So be open and honest with that person. You know, you don't do it on text message. I know that you're not a text messaging, Facebooky, Instagram, Snapchat type of congregation. But you never know, there might be someone listening who is. We have a, I live on a community, and we have a Facebook community site. And so often, people who have got gripe with their next door neighbour, instead of knocking on the door and saying, excuse me, can you just stop your dog from going in the garden? Or can you stop your kids from, like, you know, playing where the flowers are? They'll put it on Facebook. Could the persons whose children are destroying my garden, and I know who you are, and if you don't deal with it, I'll come and find you, please sort it out. And you're like, just go and knock on the door. If you know who it is, go and talk to them. But we live in a community, in a generation that doesn't like face-to-face conversations. My friend just was in a relationship 3 years, and the person's gone back to Sri Lanka, where they live half of the time, and has just dumped that person on a text message. Awful, because we find it easier not to deal with face-to-face conversations. But Scripture tells us we must deal face-to-face with that person. And when we're dealing face-to-face with that person, we have an attitude of love. We have an attitude that this is about reconciliation. This isn't about getting one up on that person that you've hurt me, so I'm now going to condemn you. It's about restoring the relationship. It's about reminding us that we are in unity with each other. And when we're in unity with each other, when we remind ourselves that we are church family, then that honours God and brings in the kingdom of God. You may not have done anything wrong when that person comes to you. You may not have done anything wrong. You may just have said the wrong thing at the wrong time, but it may not be that you've done anything wrong. So don't be all defensive. Just listen. When you talk to someone, if they've hurt you, it may be that it's just, you're not going to agree on it, but you're listening. It's amazing that when someone listens to you, the hatred goes, the hurt goes. It's about being listened to. There may be a need for repentance. You may have to just put your arms around that person, hug them and say, sorry, I was having a bad day. It was 32 degrees. The kids were shouting at me. I don't live in an air-conditioned unit, okay? I was just stressed. Sometimes just a simple apology. I'm sorry, didn't mean to, and move on. And that's what restores God's kingdom. If that doesn't work, the scriptures say, go and take someone else with you, maybe go and get the rector. And if that doesn't work, you bring them into the church. I don't know how that works, so I'm leaving that for you to cover in your reverend doctorness, okay? But don't give up on each other. Don't walk away when someone hurts you. I've been in churches as a minister and as a person of the congregation, and I know other ministers where people have walked out of the church because someone said something, or the vicar or the minister didn't greet them at the door or didn't do the right thing, and they've left the church just like that. That breaks God's heart, and it destroys what we're meant to be doing as a kingdom of God, and it will destroy this church if we let it happen. The passage before in Matthew was talking about a lost sheep. And Jesus says, if they don't listen to you, if they don't repent, if they keep on sinning, then you treat them like a tax collector or a pagan. And the original audience, who were Jewish, would have thought, yes, treat them like a tax collector or a pagan, get rid of them. But remember, Jesus didn't do that, did he, with the tax collectors or the pagan? He went after them. He sought them. He wanted to sort it out. He wouldn't leave it. He talks about the lost sheep in the few verses before, and reminds us that the shepherd will go and continually look for that sheep until it's found. And that's a reminder for us that we must work at relationship with each other. When people annoy us, as they will, and we will annoy them, keep working at it until we bring unity to the church and bring the kingdom of God to fruition. Amen?